Thank you, Wendy. Our scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, and it is chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. You know, after many, many years, and as we get older, it gets to me. Thinking about Jesus, talking about his death and death upon the cross. It's hard for us to think of the cost of discipleship, especially our own discipleship. It is hard to face the fact that Jesus lost his life and calls us to lose our lives as well. That he took up a cross and tells us that we must also do the same. The cross has always caused problems to people. Brutal and barbaric, the cross was a tool of political power for the Romans. They maintained their power because of the fear of death on the cross. When one was condemned by the state, the condemned literally had to take up their cross and carry it to the public place where they were to be crucified. It was part of the humiliation process, the mechanism of social control for which crucifixion was invented. The cross was an instrument of suffering and shame, and no more so than among the children of Israel, where the scriptures themselves declare, "Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree." To die on a cross was a sign that one died cut off from God and cut off from the people of God, a sign that the person was rejected. And of course, in the case of Jesus, this was very true. Jesus went to the cross as one who was rejected and abandoned, rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and abandoned almost completely by his disciples. Jesus didn't die as a hero or a martyr. He died as a blasphemer. An example of dying to the cross. There were two altar boys, one born in Eastern Europe and one born 3 years later in Illinois. They led separate lives but had the same experience. They both assisted the parish priest in the service of communion. Ironically, while handling the communion cup, they both accidentally spilled some of the wine on the carpet by the altar. The priest in the Eastern Europe church, seeing the purple stain, slapped the altar boy across the face and shouted, "Clumsy oaf, leave the altar The little boy grew up to become an atheist and a communist. He dropped his cross. His name was Tito, dictator of Yugoslavia for 37 years. The priest in Illinois, seeing the stain near the altar, knelt down beside the boy and looked at him tenderly in the eyes and said, "It's all right, my son. You'll do better next time. You'll be a fine priest for God someday." That little boy grew up to become the much-loved Bishop Fulton Sheen. He picked up his cross and carried it. One priest acted as if the child was deliberately sinful and unteachable. The other priest acted as if the child could grow and change and learn. The cross was the worst form of execution for the people of Israel and for the Roman Empire as a whole. At that time, you didn't mention crosses or crucifixion in the presence of women or children. Yet Christianity, in contrast to many of the other religions of today, which celebrates beauty, truth, and good, has as its center worship the symbol of death, the cross. Jesus is clear. To be his disciples, to enter the kingdom of God, we must deny ourselves and pick up our crosses and follow him. As it is with our behavior towards children, so it is with every area of our lives, and especially so it is with the challenges we face, the crosses we are called to carry, the work we are asked to do for the Lord, the life we are called to lose. When we consider the future, when we consider the choices we must make and the price we may have to pay, we owe it to ourselves and to those around us and to God himself to act. To act as if Jesus is Lord. To act as if death is conquered. To act as if faithfulness makes a difference. To act as if God will do as he promised. So what is the cross we are called to bear? The cross is not the suffering that is inflicted upon them by the world, a suffering that comes without their choice or decision, with that which comes because we have chosen to be faithful. Think about it for a moment. Think about the cross of Christ. Think about how he could have avoided it, how he could have called legions of angels to Jerusalem and ministered quietly in Galilee. A cross is something we pick up because we desire to follow Jesus. It is not something that falls upon us because we are made of mortal flesh and live in a decaying world, though how we react to those things may, in fact, turn them from the affliction that we bear to a cross we bear. There was a movie made that explains a little about faith. It was entitled Field of Dreams. And there was a line in it that I liked. Build it and they will come. Build it and your dream will come true. The promises be fulfilled. Build your life as if only that mattered was God's promises. And they will come to pass. Build your attitude each day as if God is your hope and your joy, and you will have peace. Build your actions each day as if mercy and forgiveness conquers sin and death, and you and the people around you will become whole. All of us are called by God to build our lives on a dream and a promise to carry that cross. We are called to face all that life may throw at us, and so to do all that God may ask us, no matter what the cost, in the raw hope and simple belief that God will make us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. The cross we are called to bear is not exactly the same as Christ's cross. Our crosses are our own. They are shaped especially for us by our own life issues and by the call of God upon our lives. Abraham is the father of faith because he believed and waited patiently, all the while acting as if God would do as he said. Abraham left his home and country and wandered in a foreign land and was as commanded by God, and all in all had confidence that God would fulfill his word, even when God called him to sacrifice the child of promise, Isaac. Abraham is the father of faith. Jesus is our model of faith. Jesus is the model of faith because he believed and went about doing great good, even though he knew a cross waited for him. Jesus endured persecution, scorn, and hatred because he was convinced that God was with him, that the kingdom of God was near at hand, and that God was able to do all things. And because he acted as if all these things were true, he was able to make those around him whole. Jesus and Abraham believed and they acted as if God was and is and will always be. And so they were able to endure the trials set before them. And so they found the glory promised to them. There's another book that is entitled A Cloud of Witnesses that I was told about. There were 40 soldiers of the 12th Legion of Roman Imperial Army who were Christians. Their captain announced one day that their emperor had issued a law requiring all soldiers to offer sacrifices to the pagan gods. The 40 soldiers replied, "You can have our armor and even our bodies, but the allegiance of our heart belongs to Jesus Christ." In the midwinter, AD 320, the captain had them march out onto a frozen lake. Their clothes were stripped off, and they were told either to renounce Christ or to die. Baths of hot water waited on the shore as the temptation to deny their faith. Throughout the night, the men huddled together and sang, "40 martyrs for Christ, 40 martyrs for Christ." And one by one, the soldiers fell in death. Finally, only one soldier was left. His courage failed. He stumbled to shore, renouncing his faith in Christ. But the officer of the guard who had been watching the drama had secretly come to believe in God. He believed in Christ. When the 40th soldier came to shore, the officer walked out onto the frozen lake, disrobed, and confessed his faith. As dawn broke the next morning, there were 40 bodies on the ice. The book also quotes, "We multiply whenever we are mown down by you. The blood of Christians is seed." Many people assume that the cross we are called to carry is like this, like Christ, that it is a literal willingness to die for the sake of the gospel. Our cross is like Christ in the sense that it involves offering ourselves to God and our neighbors in complete and total love and obedience to God, no matter where that love or obedience may take us. It may involve us in less than physically dying for Christ, but it will involve us in far more than simply performing acts of kindness toward other people or putting up with difficult situations. Our cross will involve us in the denial of self so that we may live to God, much as the faithful husband and wife in dealing with the sick partner, denying their own needs, their own pleasures, and live for that mate. It could also be called stepping out. It's called Standing on the Promises. And it makes hope come alive and turns the darkness of doubt into the brilliant light of faith. Our motives for doing things will not be, how will this help me? But instead, will it serve Christ? How will it serve God? In verse 35, those who save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for Christ's sake and for the sake of good news will save it. Therefore, if I lose my life, that is, if I give it away in service to Christ and Christ's good news, then and only then will I have saved it. Giving my life is my only hope. Giving my life away in service to God for God's sake, for the sake of Christ, is where it is at. Loving others with the love of God is where it is at. Otherwise, we are doing is trying to work our way into heaven. Go forward and trust, despite your doubts, despite your fears, despite the easy way out that is offered to you. We all want good things. None of us want a cross. None of us really believe that the Son of God should have died. But when we face these things and actually take up our cross, as Jesus suggests, and walk with the one who was crucified and was risen, we discover that not only are the written words of Scripture true, we also discover that they lead to great goodness. Abraham hoped against hope and became the father of nations. Jesus believed that God would use him, even in death, and became the way, the truth, and the life. There is no easy way out of what life demands of us, and there is no avoiding the words of Jesus. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for me and for the sake of the gospel will save it. But there is a dream, and there is a promise that leads us to life that God wants us to have. Denying oneself means refusing to judge others or oneself, but rather leaving all judgment in the hands of God. One of the things we struggle with most often is our sense of our own worthless. It is so easy for us to listen to the condemning voices in our head, telling us that we are a failure, a fraud. Jesus invites us to deny our own evaluation of ourselves and others, to give up making judgment about ourselves, and to accept the grace, the special relationship we have with God through Christ at face value, to accept God's evaluation of us. That is denial indeed. The next few sentences, I want to ask you, when I say I, you're going to say your name after I. No more can I say, he's such a nice fellow, or she's horrible, but rather I must say, this person is a child of God, one for whom Christ has given his life. And what I say about others, I must also say about myself. God finds me worthwhile. I am acceptable. And God will help me to grow in his grace as I yield more and more to his will for me. This sort of denial would eliminate the boundaries we erect around the gospel, around God. There would be no more insiders and no more outsiders. All of us are out and all of us are in, since Jesus has taken away the sins of the whole world. Denial of self means the refusal to feel ashamed about the gospel. Every time we hesitate to share the faith because we will be thought foolish or a religious fanatic, we are thinking more about ourselves than about the good of others. Jesus is clear. If we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. Part of our denial of self is to put our feelings we may have about speaking about our faith and to share the good news we believe in with others, even when we think that maybe they will not appreciate it. This means we need to be a little less afraid to rock the boat, to be a little less afraid of standing out in a crowd, a little less different of being different. If we truly believe that God alone makes the difference to human life, and the faith in Christ sets one free, then how can we not share that? Again, it is not about us and what we do or don't do. It's about God and what God can do and will do if we let him, if we get ourselves out of the way. Self-denial means being willing to take risks, to let go of the familiar things, the familiar thoughts, and to let God lead us, just as he led Abraham and Sarah into a new land, a land that they did not know, and there gave them new names and new life. Christ calls us beyond our known borders. He says, "Join me, follow me." Christ is always well beyond us in vision, but he also is beside us to help us walk with him into the new land, the promised land. Most of us spend our working for tomorrow. We spend all our time working for our kids' education, for our future when the kids leave home, for retirement, even for the prearranged funerals. And so we miss the riches of today. We miss discovering what it is that God is doing amongst us. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. The scripture lesson is made easier when we begin to see with the eyes of God and we begin to experience a portion of what God has promised that we will experience when we live by faith. An experience that not only includes the cross, but also includes the resurrection. All praise be to Christ, the Lord of the living and the dead. And praise be to God the Father, who raised him up from the grave. Let us be silent. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.